stand with two or three people. Smile real big. Let them know you're glad they came today. Glory to his holy name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Well, if you shook hands with someone, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been teaching on prayer for the last three mornings. We're going to teach on faith for a couple of mornings. I've asked Brother Keith to teach on faith. He's been with us for 18 years. Helped us in healing school for a good many years, and then we turned over to him, and for 12 years, I guess, he sort of headed it up. Then he taught 12 years in the Rhema Bible Training Center. Amen. I trained him well. I call him a divine healing technician. You know, in the natural, they have healing technicians. Amen. Praise God. You know, if you've been in these meetings and I don't do all the speaking, I usually tell folks that to begin with so they'll be prepared. We go in the direction that the Lord leads us. Amen. The other night, Keith wasn't scheduled to speak, but I saw the anointing was upon him, so we go with the anointing. Amen. It's good too, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Glory. All right, Brother Keith, come right on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dad. Hallelujah. Everybody happy? Stand back up again. Oh, glory to God. I tell you what Brother Hagin was talking about, us being involved with the healing school. What a privilege it has been. I told some of my friends a while back, I said, if Keith Moore don't make it, it ain't the Lord's fault. Because he has given me every opportunity. He's been so kind and so good to me. And I'm telling you, I just feel privileged to have been under this ministry. A lot of you feel the same way, don't you? I mean, my life is totally, totally different because of it. I remember back in, I guess it was 1979, I looked at the cover of the Word of Faith, and it had a picture of a graduating class, and all of them in red there, you know. And I'm standing in my little 1969 Marriott mobile home. And I looked at that, and just for a brief moment, a thought went through my mind, you know, that'd be neat to go to a place like that and go to school. And then immediately I thought, nah, not for you, you know. It just seemed like an impossible dream. And just a couple of years later, I was there. Hallelujah. I tried to stay real quiet and out of trouble in case they found out I was there, wasn't supposed to be there, and they sent me back home. just the thrill to be there. And then in healing school, you know, Brother Hagin mentioned that they were going to start the healing center and that they're going to develop some divine healing technicians. And I looked around the room. I thought, boy, but everybody would like to get in on that. And I, you know, it'd probably be just a select few. And praise God if I wasn't one of them. And how many are thankful for all the things that the Lord's done in your life? What I'm talking about, you look back and you see there are a lot of people that could have been afforded what you were afforded. Amen? And I always have it in my heart that I wouldn't want somebody else to have my opportunities and do a better job with them. I want to walk worthy of the, amen, of the call and the vocation. Well, let me get to my business here. Father, thank you so much for being so good to us. You're so kind, so gracious. How wonderful you are. And Lord, we ask you today for the ministry, for the message for this time, for utterance in the Holy Ghost, just exactly what we need for right now. And we ask for everyone, for ears that hear, eyes that see, hearts open and receptive. And let there be, Lord, divine grace deposits, truth impartations, that the faith may be fed and arise to a new level, to your glory. And we give you the praise and the thanks, and we say we'll not be just hearers only or forgetful hearers, but we are, by your grace, doers, doers of your wonderful word in Jesus' name. Amen. Said out loud, I'm a doer. You can be seated. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11 this morning. Now, we're on a mission. It's not mission impossible. It's mission possible. Amen. And it is a mission, and the Lord has given Brother Hagin direction about prayer and faith in the morning times. And you understand that the Lord doesn't want us just go through the motions of this, but He wants something accomplished. And I'm setting my heart, I want you to set your heart with mine right now, that ere this session is through this morning, and unless there's some other direction we're planning on, He's planning on having us go again tomorrow morning, that we will come to a greater faith. Amen. Our faith is going to be fed. Amen. Our faith is going to be inspired. Set your heart for it. Amen. You're not limited to what I know. The Holy Ghost is here. Amen. Even if I say something wrong, you can still get something good because He's still in you. Amen. I'm going to do the best I know, but He's here. He's here. Amen. We're on a mission. And that's for our faith to rise up. Glory to God. I like faith. Do you? Oh, man. Faith makes what men call impossible, it makes it look easy. Faith is wonderful. It pulls you out of depression and gives you joy. Amen. Faith is amazing. It can heal your body. It can get your needs met, get your bills paid. It's the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Verse 1 of chapter 11, Hebrews. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Then he goes on in verse 2 through verse 40, giving example after example after example of what he's talking about. He didn't just leave us with an abstract definition of faith. He gave us and gives us living examples of faith. It's like what Abel did. It's like what Abraham did. It's like what Noah did. It's like what Gideon did. Faith is manifested in a lot of different ways. It's the same spirit, but it's a many-splendored thing, if you will. Many-faceted. And in thinking about these sessions, the Lord brought this thought to my mind. What has helped you the most in your faith walk? And immediately, I knew two things that the Lord has taught me about faith through Brother Hagin's ministry and through the Word over the years and through walking out some things and believing God and getting success. You know, when you believe for something and it happens, you remember what you did? Amen. You want to do it again? And there were two things, glory to God, that just stood out to me. I get excited when I think about it. And that's what I'm planning on doing, is sharing with you those two things. One of them today, perhaps the other tomorrow. We'll see. But the first one is in this verse right here. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now I want to read this to you a little differently. I want to take the definitions of these words and put them together and read the verse. You could say it like this. "Now persuasion is the foundation for things expected, the proof of things not seen." I'll say that one more time. If you look up these words and Vines and Strongs and Youngs and Thayers and Browns, etc., etc., you'll find that's exactly what the word faith means, persuasion. You're persuaded of something. Now persuasion is the foundation. This word substance means basis or ground, that which sets under or supports. Faith is the foundation, or it is the basis. You could say this, it is the reason for things expected. It is the proof of things not seen. Amen. The basis for things expected is what I want to focus on this morning. This one thing has helped my faith walk immeasurably, and that is to understand the place of hope in faith. King James says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for." Now, if you look up the word hope, There are two main words in the New Testament, and they're from the same root word. And they mean confident expectation. And it'll really help you if everywhere in the New Testament, when you see the word hope, if you'll think expect, it'll open up a whole realm of things to you. Now, I'm going to go over this real slow. Make sure you get this, because if you miss this, you're going to be confused on some things here later on. Hope, Bible hope, that's mentioned in this verse. And in fact, I guess it's over a dozen times in the New Testament that this word translated hope is also translated trust. Same word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the basis or the ground or foundation for things confidently expected. Hallelujah. Everybody say confidence. Expectation.
Expectation.
See, confident expectation. Confidently expecting. Why are you confidently expecting something? Because you have faith. And based on your faith, you're expecting. Glory to God. Everybody say expecting. Now, you're going to hear me say this repeatedly. But if you are not expecting, you are not in faith. And this is one of the most obvious telltale signs that you can monitor in your own life. Where's my expectancy at today? Am I really, really, really just busting at the seams expecting? Then my faith's doing good. Am I not expecting? Then I'm not in faith, even though I'm making a confession. Did you hear me now? Even though I prayed in tongues, if I'm not expecting anything, I'm not in faith. Now go with me, if you would, to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Say it one more time. Confident. Expectation. Now in Romans, the 8th chapter, we'll begin down in verse 19. Romans 8:19 says, the earnest expectation. Let me just stop here and define this for you. You see the word expectation, but then you also see the word earnest. I know this sounds a little technical, but I'm laying a foundation here. Earnest expectation means that you are watching for something, you are looking for something. And earnest means strained expectancy. Did you hear that? Strained expectancy, eager. In fact, Lightfoot says, abstraction and absorption. Abstraction from anything else that would engage the attention, and absorption in the object expected till the fulfillment is realized. I know that's wordy, but he's a scholar, okay? Did you hear the words, though? Abstraction and absorption. That you are so focused on expecting this thing that nothing else distracts you. You are absorbed in the eager expectation of something till it's fulfilled. How long? Till it's fulfilled. Glory. That's faith. He said the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature or creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In hope. Everybody say hope. Now tell me again, what's Bible hope? Confident expectation. Because the creature or creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What happens with us is directly connected with what happens to the planet. and the creation. For we know, verse 22, that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And a lot of what we're hearing, the earthquakes, the storms, all the goofed up weather, the earth is groaning and travailing. And especially as it gets closer to the end, it's just going to be more and more of it. Why? Because in one sense, it's dying. People talk about save the planet. Well, we ought not just waste our resources, but we ain't going to be able to save it. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Amen. And there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. It's going to be glorious. No curse in it. Oh, glory to God. No germs. No pollution. Whoo, glory. I'm going to have to contain myself this morning because I'm just right about that far from shouting every other verse I read. And I'm going to help myself when it's right. Yeah. But the whole creation is groaning and travailing. That's the earthquakes. That's the storms. That's all the things that's going on. And not only they, not only the creation, but ourselves also. I'm sure if we came by your house and hid behind the door, we'd hear a groan every once in a while. When you look in the mirror and see a new wrinkle. Some more gray hair. All the gray hair that was there was gone. And you, not only the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. We're not enjoying our full physical redemption at this time. What is your full physical redemption? Glorified body. Woo, glory. And do you ever get tired of having to deal with this body? I mean, you know, no matter what you do, it's growing older. No, you comb your hair today and you want to comb it again. Is that right? You try to clean yourself up, you got to do it again. And it's just, you know, you get tired of fooling with this mortality. One of these days, we're going to have a body that matches our spirit. We're going to have a body exactly like the Lord Jesus' body. Glory! We're going to be happy with it too. It's going to be way out beyond this state we're in now. But you know, we can make it. It's not going to be that long. I said, we can make it. Do you know, for us Christians that are walking in the will of God, this is as bad as it gets for us. Well, that'll make you dance. Is there, and I'm doing pretty good. I don't know about you, but I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm happy. And this is the closest to hell I'm ever going to get. Hallelujah. Now it makes you feel sorry for the sinner, because this is as close to heaven as they're going to get. Those that don't accept God. That's why we need to tell as many as we can. But you know, we can make it. We can make it in this, can't we? Yeah, we don't have that long. We can make it, because after this, no devils, no curse. Whew. Just shouting. He said, for the redemption of the body. Verse 24 is what I want you to get now. For we are saved by what? Hope. Someone said, I thought we were saved by faith. We are. But where there's faith, there's hope. We said, didn't you say that backwards? No. But again, what is hope? Someone said, isn't there hope first and then there's faith? Not Bible hope. Bible hope is the product of faith. Now, let me explain to you. It's confusing because in our modern society, the word hope is used in a completely different way than it's used in the Bible. It doesn't mean what the Bible's talking about. Again, what does hope mean in the Bible? Confident expectation. How many times have we dealt with situations, well, let's say it's a ministry line or whatever, and you ask somebody, you know, will you receive now when hands are laid upon you? And if they say, well, I sure hope so. Well, then usually the faith crowd groans and goes, ooh, why? That ain't faith. That's right, it ain't. But it's not hope either. Not Bible hope. Because when they say, you know, will you be healed now when I lay hands on you? And they say, I sure hope so. Are they saying what the Bible means? Are they saying, I confidently expect to be? No. Then what do they mean when they're saying, I hope so? It basically has to do with desire. Desire. In other words, they might say it like this, I hope I will be, I wish I would be, I want to be, I'd like to be, would probably be a good phrase to express what they really mean, but Bible hope is not there, and Bible faith is not there. Because if they looked at you and they said, you know, will you be healed now? And they said, I'm confidently expecting to be healed when you lay hands on me. We know that's faith, but actually that's hope. Because it's future tense. Now, y'all are awake, right? You're awake? Huh? Make sure you're awake. I know when I first started, having graduated from Rhema, going out and doing meetings, especially in some small churches, after a while of seeing some results and not seeing some results, I had some questions about some things. Because it didn't look like it was working like it was supposed to. Because, you know, we know that faith is now, and we know that when we believe, that's present and past tense, and you had to watch about future tense. But really, faith deals with all tenses. Mark 11:24, do you remember, what does it say? Whatever things you desire, when you pray, now see, desire, you want it. When you desire, when you pray, which would be right then, right now, present tense, when you pray, believe you receive them, that's right now, and what? You shall have them, that's not right now. That's future tense. So when do you believe you receive? Right now. When do you have them? After you believe you receive them. Right? Say it out loud. You shall have them. What tense is that? Future tense. So I know I'm thinking of an individual right now. I'd go to churches, and in some individuals I'd be ministering to them. Maybe they were desperately ill, and they said, you know, thank you, Lord. I believe I have received my healing. I have my healing now. It's mine in Jesus' name. And then 2 or 3 years later, I'd come back and see them, and they're still sick. And I'm thinking of one guy, he was a Baptist deacon, didn't have a lot of background in faith teaching, and I ministered at their church. And he caught me at the door, because I laid hands on him, and he caught me at the door. He was excited. He said, you just watch it. Next time you see me, I'll be healed. And I left thinking, he's still future tense. But the next time I saw him, he was healed. Are you with me now? Are y'all listening? And then next time I saw the other guy that had what I thought was a perfect confession, he's still sick. What is hope? Confident expectation. Amen. And this, you know, see, this is the thing. There are people that are making confessions, but they're not really expecting anything. There are people that get up and come down to the healing line, but they're not really expecting anything. Just because you make a confession doesn't mean you're in faith. And this man, even though he didn't know exactly how to talk, he was convinced something happened when we laid hands on him. Amen. But he didn't know to say anything about that. He was just convinced because of what had happened that his body was going to change. And he was expecting his body to change, and he got what he expected. His body changed. Hallelujah. What things ever you desire, When you pray, believe you receive them. So I believe I receive my healing. That's now. So do you believe you have your healing? Yes, I believe I have my healing. But that faith, that persuasion of that, puts me in a state of expecting to see it here. Listen to Hebrews 11:1 one more time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're in faith about it, it is not yet, and it is not seen. Did you hear me now? Somebody said, well, no, it already is. It is in the Spirit. It is in the redemptive plan, but not in your body, not in your pocketbook. If the money's not there, it's not there. Right? If the healing hadn't occurred in the body, we don't see it, then it's not there. But because we're in faith, we believe God's already heard our prayer. We believe we've already received. And that puts us in a state of expecting that body to change. Expecting that money to come. Can you say amen? And understanding the natural side of this has just helped my faith leaps and bounds. Because I know all I got to do is check up on, am I really expecting my body to change? Am I really expecting that money to come? Amen? Not wishful thinking. Not waiting to see if anything is going to happen, but confidently, amen, absorbed in it, earnestly, straining for it, going, come on now, come to Papa. It's a whole lot like fishing. Even though you can't see them, let's forget about electronic gadgets, you can't see them. You believe there's fish under there. And so you cast that hook out there. And you believe that, see, you wouldn't be out there if you didn't believe there was some fish under there. You're convinced, you're persuaded that your fish is under there. Right? Even if you sit out there with no bites at all, you know it, my fish is under there. And if you're a faith person, you'll say, come to me, fish. Come bite my hook. And when he nibbles on it, you got to believe you receive. When he nibbles on it, you got to set the hook. Set the hook. Believe you receive. Amen. And then the line goes. And you hear the squeal. And your pole bends. And now you believe you received. But you don't have it yet. I said, you don't have it yet. So what are we doing? Now I'm expecting. I'm expecting. I'm cranking this baby. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. What are you doing? Pulling him in. Expecting. And you just expect him right on up into the boat. Until he gets out into this realm where you can see him and eat him. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Have you hooked anything? Are you reeling anything in? Are you expecting anything this morning? Check up on yourself. Check up on yourself. Hallelujah. Go with me to Romans, the 4th chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wait. I'm sorry. I didn't finish reading that verse. Verse 24 of 8. Let me finish reading it. Don't get in a hurry and miss something here. Romans 8:24. We are saved by what? Hope. Confident expectation. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? I mean, you're not hoping for stuff that's already happened. Somebody said, yeah, but aren't you supposed to believe it's already happened? Well, inside, but out here it hadn't already happened. So you're expecting it to happen out here. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. How is it that we're saved by hope? I thought we're saved by grace through faith. Well, we are, but he's saying the same thing. Because where there's faith, there is confident expectation. Because we believe the gospel, then we believe that Jesus is coming back. Amen? We believe we will be raised with him. Like we are raised with him, but also our body. We are expecting. If you have faith in the gospel and the good news story, then it puts you in a state of expecting. We are expecting the plan of God to unfold. We are expecting the trump to sound. We are expecting Jesus to return. Why are we expecting all that? Because we have faith. So it gives us hope or expectation. Now go back to the fourth chapter of Romans. While you're turning there, Titus 2 says, we are looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Anybody got that hope this morning? That expectation? Are you looking for the Lord to come back? Amen. The Bible says every man that has this hope in him purifies himself. It's a purifying thing, this hope. This will make you live right. Amen. I mean, when you're really, really expecting the Lord to come back, amen, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, then you're not just going to be living just any old way, right? You're going to be living in a manner ready to meet Him. Romans 4, are you there? Romans 4, 16. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made. Now see, that's past tense. I have made thee a father of many nations, before or like unto him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now here's the phrase, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he is about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. You do understand faith works exactly the same today as it did for Abraham those centuries ago. Right? Exactly the same. He's the father of faith. Let me read this to you from another translation. It says, moreover, in the view of the promise of God, he, Abraham, did not vacillate in the sphere of unbelief between two mutually exclusive expectations. Did you hear that? He didn't vacillate. He didn't waver between two different expectations, two mutually exclusive expectations. But he was strengthened with respect to his faith. He gave glory to God, fully persuaded. You see, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things that are seen would lead you to expect one thing. Amen? But your faith would cause you to expect something else. Hallelujah. I get excited when I think about this. Let me read something else to you. Abraham, this is the Beck translation. Abraham kept hoping. Now see, a lot of charismatics, they wouldn't like that right there. They'd say, well, no, that's not right. No, no, it's right. It's in the Bible. He kept hoping in faith when hope was gone, that he would be the father of many nations just as he had been told. He didn't, in unbelief, hesitate about God's promise, but empowered by faith, he rendered praise to God in the complete conviction that he was able to make his promise good. Hallelujah. Two mutually exclusive expectations. The economy doesn't look good. They're talking about layoffs at your job. This is not going good. Everything tells you, expect to get poor. But the Word of God tells you that the righteous have never been forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. And that because you're a giver, people give to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That because you're a giver, God always supplies all your need, according to, not according to the economy, according to His riches in glory, by Christ Jesus, and that you always have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. Now, if you really believe that, if you're really persuaded of that, that's going to cause you to expect to eat good no matter what's going on. To live good, to have all your bills paid, no matter what's going on. Amen. You go to the doctor, they do the test. They come back, they tell you there's a real problem. You're not going to live. You have to die prematurely. You have to die middle age. You have to die young. Your body feels like it. It looks like it. All of those things would lead you to expect to not live much longer. Expect to feel worse. Expect to get worse. Abraham, when there was no reason for him to expect to father a child, he expected anyway. I said he expected anyway. And there was no reason for him to expect Sarah to conceive. I mean, she couldn't conceive when she was a young woman. Now she's gone through the change of life. Now both of them are old. There was no reason. Can you see Abraham and Sarah going to their local doctor and clinic? So we want to check up. Why? Well, we're planning a family. We're going to have a child. And how old are you? 99. And Miss Abraham, 90. How many children you already have? None. They'd laugh them out, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? So if somebody laughs you out, you're in good company. Huh? They've checked you out. They've said, no, this organ is too far gone. It'll never work again. Hmm? Can you expect it to work anyway? Now, see, these nerves have been severed and these brain cells have been damaged and they'll never reproduce. Can you expect them to come back anyway? Yes. Can you? Yes. Can you? Yes. Can you? Yes. Yeah, but you don't understand. You were in an accident. That part of your body is destroyed. It'll never work again. Now, I thank God for good doctors. I thank God for good people in the scientific arenas and medical arenas. But there is one bone I have to pick with some of these folk. And that is when they get out of their area and over into my area. Yeah. Because I don't get in their area. I'm not performing any neurosurgeries. I'm not prescribing any medicine. I'm not qualified. Nor are they qualified to tell people what to expect. Did you hear me? And I've had some folk that I've worked with in healing school. And every time they go to the doctor, half the time they spent with them bringing in their psychotherapist and the psychologist trying to talk them out of expecting a miracle. Because they didn't want and feel bad and think I'm the scum of the earth because I'm getting their hopes up when there's no hope. Yeah, but are they God to tell them there's no hope? When God said, I made the heavens and the earth, is anything too hard for me? Is anything too difficult for me? When He said, lay hands on people and tell them to expect to recover, He didn't say, unless it's incurable. Unless the professionals have decided it can't be fixed. There needs to be some humility in these professions whereby people come and admit, I can't do anything. I can't fix it. That doesn't mean God can't fix it. Right? And I'm telling you, that's not just in that one area, but in any area, watch it, friend, that you never take away anybody's expectation. You never rob anybody of their Bible hope. Never. If you run across somebody and they're expecting something and you think, man, I don't know if I could expect that. Well, that's just you. Maybe their faith is out beyond yours in this area. Don't try to shoot them down. Amen. I tell you, Brother Mack helped me. I don't know if he realized it or not, but several years ago, the Lord laid it on his heart to fly Brother Hagin and them around to their meetings. And I've been flying at that time for less than a year. I don't know if you understand how green that is, but I mean, you know, people on the ground don't know how blessed they are that you flew over them and didn't hit their house or something. But just at that point, I caught Brother Mack aside one time and I said, Brother Mack, because I didn't want to tell anybody else this. I said, I'm believing God that I can get to the place in short order, just right away, where I'll fly a jet and I'll have a jet. And with all his training and experience, he could have looked at me and said, well, now, you know, let's don't get in a rush about this. And, you know, because he knows all the things that can go wrong and how complicated that. I didn't have a clue what I was biting off. And it's good I didn't, because I'd have probably just run and hid. But he looked at me and he said, Keith, you can have anything you can believe for. Anything you can believe for. I thought, yeah, yes, I can. I can have anything I can believe. People say, yeah, but your ministry's too small. You can't have a jet. You know how much jets cost to operate? When you pull up to the tank and say, fill her up. You forget silver cards. You better have a platinum card. Fill her up. We're not talking about your van. Or your pickup. I mean, a lot of times. There's been several times I've gone to churches and, you know, my fuel bill was bigger than the offering. And I said, well, why do you do that? Because that's not my source. No church is my source. Right. Amen? God is my source. And I can expect to have plenty to run that thing. Amen. Even though in the natural, there might not be any reason to expect it. I expect anyway. And Romans 5:5 says, and faith maketh not ashamed. Hallelujah. This kind of faith and this kind of expectation will never be disappointed. Never be made ashamed. Never. So when people are hollering about, don't get their hopes up, don't get their hopes up. Yes, get their hopes up. Get their hopes up. Sky high. Just as high. Get them so high we can't see them. Why? Because as high as you can ask or think, God can do exceeding abundantly above that. So yes, expect that organ to work again. Yeah, but Brother Keith, I've been a diabetic for 20-something years. I don't care. Expect that pancreas to work. Expect it to. I wish it would be. Get past that. Expect it to be. Pray your prayer, say your word, and get into expectation. Expecting, 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 expecting. Every time you check your blood sugar level, expect it to be down. What if it's up? Say, that don't move me. Nothing moves me. I'm still expecting this to go down. Yeah, but it was up for 4 weeks in a row. I don't care. That doesn't move me. None of these things move me. I'm expecting it to come down. I'm expecting it won't be long. I won't have to use any insulin. None. You just keep checking it. And I'm telling you, against hope, Abraham believed in hope. Put yourself in his shoes. 99. Wife 90. It seems so far-fetched. Both of them laughed at God. Both of them. When he told them. Listen, both of them. Abraham was okay as long, I mean, he's doing good for God to say, go out, look at the stars. Yes, sir. Can you count all them? No way. You know how many grains of sand's on the seashore? No. That's how many kids you're going to have. Now, and Abraham standing out there said, okay. You say it, you can do it. I believe it, and I'm telling you, it's recorded for eternity that God said, that's my friend. He believes me. He believes I'm big enough to do it. He'll believe I'll do it. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And it's given us as an example of a father of faith for all the church. In the past, they did the Hagar-Ishmael deal. In another conversation with God, the Lord told him, this is not your seed. Your seed is going to come through Sarah. And when he said that, Abraham laughed. He thought that was funny. He thought, Sarah? Really? Oh, that Ishmael might live before. He thought, this is too far-fetched, you know. Sarah? And the Lord said, you'll see whether my arm is shortened or not, whether I can do it or not. And left him. Conversation's over. But he got it straightened out and began to expect. He'd look at his body, he'd look at Sarah's body, and there was no reason to expect the pitter-patter of little feet. But in spite of that, what did he do? In spite of it, against hope, contrary to expectation, he believed and was persuaded in expectation. He expected. He expected. And he'd ask Sarah, feel any different? Got any good news for me? Huh? He's 99. She's 90. But he kept expecting. I remember as a little boy growing up in Mississippi on the farm. A lot of times my mom, you know, she'd cook for us breakfast. Sometimes we'd have cereal, especially like on Saturday morning or something. And I remember this distinctly. I must have been 8 years old or something like that. And on the back of this, I think it was a cornflake box or frosted flake box, had this picture of this submarine. And you could put these tablets in it. I see y'all got one too, didn't you? You put these tablets in it, and then you could put it in the bathtub, and this baby would go down to the bottom and submerge, sit there a while, come back up to the top. I thought, man, that's got to be the coolest thing. I had to have one. So I saved my money, which was precious. I didn't have a lot of money. Precious. I think I got 50 cents a week or something, you know what? I saved it. I got those box tops. I got that address. And I wrote it out, you know, and I ordered one of these submarines. Sent it to, where is it, Battle Creek, Michigan? See, you sent one too, didn't you? And I sent that. Now, my mailbox was at least a quarter mile from the house on a dirt road. You had to walk. It was kind of up an upgrade. In fact, that's where I learned how to ride a bicycle, which was rough. It was gravel down that road. And my brother, somebody would give me a shove. And you'd make it about 40, you know, 10 feet. And wham, and those gravel and slide all the way. That's another story. But I walked out there. I remember it distinctly. I got a stamp from my mom, and I put that in there, and I raised the flag because the mail carrier had come by and picked that up, and I sent it away. Now, if you think about it, it takes faith for a kid to send his money to somebody he'd never seen. I didn't even know if there was such a thing as a Battle Creek, Michigan. I didn't know what a Michigan was. I'm in Mississippi. You understand? I thought Memphis was north. And it takes faith to send your money to somebody you don't know. You never saw them. I'm trusting they ain't just going to pocket my money. I'm trusting them that just they told me on the back of a cereal box that they would send me a submarine. Didn't they? And I got faith from reading those words on the back of that. So think about it. I never saw any submarine. Did I? I never saw any submarine. I never put my hand on a submarine. For all I know, they're lying about it. Somebody just drew a picture of one. Nobody has one. It could have been. But I got faith from seeing those words on the back of that cereal box, and I sent that money in, And I tell you, the moment, I mean, I watched the mail carrier come and get it. Made sure he got it. And put it in his bag, and he left. And I tell you, from that moment on, guess what I was doing? I'm expecting a submarine. I should have known that he ain't going to be back the next day. But the next day, I'm there. I'm at the mailbox. Here's the mail rat. You got any submarines? No, sorry. Next day, guess where I'm at? I'm at the mailbox. Why? Because somebody I never saw in a place I never heard of told me that if I'd send some money and some box tops, they'd send me a submarine. I got faith in them. I believe in them. And I've acted on my faith. And it's put me in a state of expectation. I'm expecting. Day after day after day. And it seemed like, you know, I thought, where's that submarine got to come from? How far away is this Michigan? Weeks passed. Everybody say weeks. Time tries faith and patience. But I didn't quit expecting. I sent my money. They better send me a submarine. Right? And guess what? One day, I went to the mailbox. I had done it many, many times. I went to the mailbox again, and lo and behold, there it was in a box from Battle Creek, Michigan. Submarine. I tell you what, I ran all the way down the driveway, all the way back to the house. I got in the bathroom and ran some water in the tub. Yes, I did. And me and that submarine went round and round and round and round. My faith had come to sight. My expectation was not disappointed, but it was fulfilled. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to Acts. Book of Acts, the 27th chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Against hope, he believed in hope. Against expectation, he expected anyway. Expected to become the father of many nations. And he just kept expecting it. And Sarah got in with him. As even after both of them laughed, they got in faith and kept expecting. And lo and behold, she's with child. And what is her condition now? She's expecting. Is that right? And expecting is a perfect example of faith. Pregnancy. Oh, it's perfect. Why? Because you got seed. You got conception. You got development in a realm you can't see. And you've got coming into the realm you can see. Right? She had conceived seed. She's pregnant. Is she with child? Yeah. Where's the child? Can we see it? No. But has she received? Yeah. So she's expecting. And if you keep expecting, what's going to happen? We're going to have a baby we can see and feel and feed and change. Right? If you're in faith, you're expecting. If you're in faith, you're pregnant. With it. Is that right? With your healing. With your financial need met. With the prosperity. With your answer. You got it inside you. And it's growing in you. And because you've already received. That is past tense. But it puts you in a state of expecting to see it out here. Expecting. In Acts. Are you there? The 27th chapter. This is such a wonderful story. I'm telling you. You could just preach on this and go on and on. But it is the story of Paul's ship ride to Rome. His travel. And I know this is not just in here by accident. I'm telling you, there's some tremendous things here. But Paul was placed in the ship as a prisoner with other prisoners. And they were sending them, shipping him to Rome for him to stand before Caesar and appeal his case as a Roman citizen and testify. One of the things the Lord told him he'd do when he got saved on the road to Damascus. You remember that? He said, you're going to bear my name before kings and Gentiles. You're going to suffer some stuff for me. And it was all coming to pass. And so they're on this ship. And they change ships in a certain place. And They in verse 9 and 10, Acts 27, it says, because of the time of the year, sailing was getting dangerous. Because in that part of the world, in that part of the sea, at that time of the year, they could come up hurricanes, typhoons, just like today. You know, and this time of the year in the Atlantic, you have to watch around those areas. And so Paul said to them in verse 10, he said, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with much hurt and damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. He didn't say, I had a vision. He didn't say an angel spoke to me. He just perceived it. And all of us have spiritual perception. If we'll pay attention to it, we got the Holy Ghost in us. Not a voice, not an experience of vision, not something out here, but you just sense it, you just know it, you perceive it. And he told him, he said, we don't need to do this, because if you do, there's going to be hurt and damage of the load of the ship, and also our lives will be endangered. But the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You know, people, I don't care how much of a professional you are, you better listen to the Holy Ghost. I don't care what kind of advice you receive from so-called professionals. I've had people talk to me about things and say, well, I don't know anything about that. I say, you make decisions exactly like you do on every other thing. You follow your heart. Don't care how ignorant you may be of an area, in the final analysis, get expert opinion. Read and find out what you can, but when it's all said and done, follow your heart. No matter what the experts say. Right? Well, these guys had the experience. They've been in the sea. They've sailed. They've seen. They know. And so this guy goes with experience rather than spiritual witness. And you know the story. It looked like for a while everything was going great. I mean, the winds were great. They're sailing. It looks like, oh, that preacher didn't know what he's talking about. But just about time it looked like it's going to be okay, they got caught up in a typhoon. They got caught up in a storm, a tempestuous wind, verse 14 says, and they just had to turn loose the ship. They couldn't control it. It was caught up in the storm, and it drove it. And verse 18, we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now that's getting serious. I mean, this is what you need to operate the ship by. You're throwing it overboard. And when neither sun nor stars in many days, everybody say many days. I mean, being in a bad storm for a couple of hours is rough. Many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us. What happened? Verse 20, what happened? All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, this is interesting. I didn't know this, just recently studying about this. This is the same word here that you find in verse 40 where they cut off the anchors. Remember that? And then I was reminded of the scripture that tells us that hope is an anchor to the soul. You remember that? I got it written down here. Where is that at? Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. It says, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Hope is an anchor for the soul. And isn't that what you have trouble with when you're trying to believe God? Yes. Huh? Your soul, your mind, your emotion, your feelings. But hope, what is hope? Confident expectation. It's an anchor. It's an anchor for your soul. It'll hold it in the storms of contradictions and bad reports. Can you say amen? Anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into the veil. So it says that their hope was taken away. It's like the anchor was cut off. And when the anchor's cut off, you're just caught up in the storm. You're just driven with it. Wherever it drives you, that's where you wind up. And we don't want circumstances of life driving us. We want to be changing them in Jesus' name. But you got to have the faith and you got to have the expectation that comes from it that anchors your soul. So, I mean, when things go on and troubles and tribulation just go on and on and on. That's why you got to monitor yourself, because your expectation can begin to ebb. You know? I mean, you know, like the first day, you're primed, man. You're expecting a submarine. But after 3 weeks, you're wondering if they sent that submarine or not. And I understand if we can have faith in Kellogg's. If we can have faith, if a kid can have faith in something he read off a cereal box, can't we have faith in the Word of God? Can't we know that we know that it's true? And can't we expect it to happen just like he said it would? Well, watch what happens. These guys have lost their hope. They've lost their expectation. All hope that they're going to make it has been taken away. Their anchor's been cut off. Their soul is just being whaled around in the storm. Like the ship is, so is their soul. But Paul, after long abstinence, verse 21, he stood forth in the midst of them and he said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me." And they said, "Well, you're never supposed to tell people I told you so." Well, I don't know about that. He said, "I told you so. You should have listened to me and not loosed from Crete. We could be sitting under a palm tree right now drinking some coconut juice." "But no." "You know better. You guys wouldn't know God if you saw him with a red hat on, but you, no, you got to." No, he didn't say all that, but he said, "You should listen to me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Now here's a punchline. Don't forget this. Where there is faith, there is expectation. Where there is expectation, there is joy. There's gladness. Hallelujah. 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 Where there is faith, there's expectation. And when you're expecting something good, it makes you happy. It makes you go to the mailbox and smile. Amen. I just know what I'm going to do with that submarine. You think about it. Before you have it, before you see it. And so Paul's trying to get these guys in faith with him now. He's heard from God. He's got the Word. But he's telling them, you need to be of good cheer. Now picture it, friends. This thing, this boat's being tossed like a leaf. They have had to throw over their ropes, their tackle blocks. I mean, stuff you need to run the ship with. They're hauling cargo, freight. This is going to be their means of income. They've already pitched it. They're just trying to stay alive. And how do you think you're going to be after days and days of this? Bunch of them are sick. Is that right? A lot of you get sick going around a curve too fast in a car. Can you imagine this? Some of them have thrown up till they don't know what to do. They're holding on. They got ropes tied on. This thing, every time you turn around, you hear crack, groan. You think this thing's going to break up just any minute. And he says, "Cheer up! Let's get happy." They're swinging going like, "What?" The wind's blowing. The salt water's hitting them in the head. "Y'all cheer up!" "What?" It's that preacher. "What did he say?" He said, "Be happy." "Oh, God." "Be happy." "Oh, yeah, great. Be happy. We're all dying. Be happy. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship." You're going to lose the ship. There is a price for disobedience. You know, there's a whole story here. Why didn't Paul just rebuke that storm? Why didn't Paul just stand up on that deck and go, "Wind, waves, stop it in Jesus' name"? Like Jesus did. Like we're taught to. Why didn't he do it? He would have if he could have. It's very important here, friends. Do not separate exercising authority from the leading of the Spirit. Don't do it. You do, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to come up with problems. Never separate them. The two go hand in hand. Every time Jesus calmed a storm, he and his were doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. They were there in that sea because the Lord told them to be there. Is that right? Here, these guys are somewhere they're not supposed to be. If they'd listened to God, they wouldn't even be in the storm. Is that right? So when you disobey God, you go forfeit some things. And you can't just disobey God and then get in trouble and use your authority to straighten it out anyway. Are you with me now? Now God has, thank God, He's merciful, isn't He? He's going to spare them. He's going to save their lives. When Paul told them originally, you know, our lives are in danger. But you're going to lose, you already lost your profit. You already lost your cargo. You're going to lose the ship. But your lives are going to be saved, so cheer up. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. You know, people ought to be glad that you get on their airplane. There's a lot of sinners don't know it, but they ought to be glad that you got on the bus with them or you got on the train. Is that right? He said, God has given you to Paul, because he asked for it, I'm sure. God could have just saved Paul and all them drowned. But he gave them to him because he asked for them. He said, wherefore, sirs? He says it again. Do what? Cheer up. No such thing as sad faith. I said, no such thing as sad faith. You show me a sad person, I'll show you a doubting person. Yeah, but they're making good confessions. It doesn't work like that. I've had people look at me and just cry, brother, we're just believing God. You want to say, no, you're not. Yeah, but we've been making our confessions. No, if you really believed it, it put you in a state of expecting good. And even if you were still hurting, even if it still looked bad, you know this is just real temporary because it's got to change. I'm expecting, and that expectancy of good would make you glad. Hallelujah. Anybody expecting anything in here this morning? Are you expecting? Anybody expecting any bills to be paid off? It may be against hope. I said it may be against hope. It may look like you got no reason to expect them to be paid, but you do. I said you do. Be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. How's it going to be? It's going to be just like He told me. Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Verse 33, look at it. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. Now can you imagine that? Having a meal on this pitching deck? He said, this is the 14th day you have tarried and continued fasting. Now most of these guys were not supposed to be spiritual folk. They're sailors. They've been fasting one reason because, you try to eat some soup and you go, phew. Another reason you're sick at your stomach, right? Another reason, if you were religious, you're fasting. And he said, you've taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you, take some food, for this is for your health and your strength. There shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now think about this. This thing is pitching and jumping and bucking and growing and salt water and wind flying. And they're all hanging on and eating. 276 of them. Eating. And verse 36, read it for me. Verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer. Paul got through to them. They heard his words. They believed about the angel visit. They believed the words that they all go make it. And when they believed that, what did he do? It put them in a state of expecting to make it, which made them happy. It made them glad. It made them of good cheer. And they also took some meat. Verse 44, it happened, it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Hallelujah. There is something that happens when your heart is persuaded and you get into a state of expectancy. You begin to be happy. You begin to be glad. Amen? And even though it looks so desperately impossible, you still expect. You expect, though it looks like it goes from bad to worse, and from worse to lousy, and from lousy to unbelievably bad. You still look up and go, I'm expecting anyway. I'm expecting. And because you're expecting such good things, it makes you happy. It makes you glad. You smile, and people look at you and think, well, they don't have any problems. People who walk by faith, you think they don't have problems. Because they're always happy. Just looking at them, you think, well, man, it don't seem fair. I have trials and tests. Look at them. They always got the victory. The Bible says they're going through the same trials and tests that you are. Thing is, they're just responding in faith instead of walking by sight. They're being stirred up to expect. If you're not expecting, you're not believing. If you're not glad, you're not expecting. I want to stir you up right now. Think about it. Focus. This is the time to apply it right now. Are you expecting? Be specific. Have you prayed for anything? Have you asked anything? Amen. Have you sowed any seed? Are you expecting a harvest? Are you expecting some things to happen for you? Amen. Are you expecting some promotion? Are you expecting some increase? Are you expecting to come up? Well, I look kind of bad. No. Don't even look at the natural. It's not based on anything that you see or feel. Are you expecting? Are you expecting your body to change? Are you expecting symptoms to go? Pain to leave? Body parts to be strengthened? Are you expecting? Are you expecting to know the plan of God? Are you expecting revelation to come to you? Things you've always wondered about. You just see and you know. Well, it makes you glad right now. It makes you glad right now. You can stand up. You can shout. You can praise God. You can be so excited because you just know that you know that you know the submarine is on the way. You know it. You know it. You know it. You'll soon be in the bathtub. You know it. You know it. You know it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're a faithful God. Thank you, Lord. You're a faithful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Just praise Him a little bit. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, I thank you. 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 Thank you, my Father. Thank you. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting signs and wonders. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. Abundance of finances. I'm expecting more money than I need. I'm expecting. And I'm glad. I'm glad. Hallelujah. 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 I'm glad. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you glad? Whoo, glory to God. Expecting. You get to dwelling on this, you just sit in your chair and smile. You'll just smile. People look at you and you just are happy, they think for no reason, but there is a reason. Glory, glory, glory. Come up here, Steve and Candy, real quick. We're going to sing a chorus as we're dismissed. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, key of G. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm expecting a miracle today. Anything could happen, anytime, anyway. God can do anything, I believe He will. I'm expecting a miracle. Come on, sing it now.
I'm expecting a miracle today. Anything could happen anytime, anyway. God can do anything. I believe He will. I'm expecting a miracle. Think about something specific. Oh, I'm expecting a miracle today. Anything could happen anytime, anyway. God can do anything. I believe He will. I'm expecting a miracle. Sing it strong now. Oh, I'm expecting a miracle today. Anything could happen anytime, anyway. God can do anything. I believe He will. I'm expecting a miracle. Three more times. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm expecting a miracle today. Anything could happen anytime, anyway. God can do anything. I believe He will. I'm expecting a miracle. Two more times. Oh, thank you. I'm expecting a miracle. Are you? Are you? Anything could happen anytime, anyway. God can do anything. I believe He will. I'm expecting a miracle. One more time. Oh, I'm expecting a miracle. Yes, I am. Anything could happen anytime, anyway. You know my God can do anything. I believe He will. I'm expecting a miracle. I said my God can do anything. I believe He will. I'm expecting. I said I'm expecting. I'm expecting a miracle. Glory to God. Some of you, are you really expecting those things to be paid off? You really? You're so happy about it, you don't know what to do with yourself? Really? Earnestly straining? Expecting? Hallelujah. Tonight, 7 o'clock, come. Let's expect good things for this evening. You're dismissed.